Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to The Own It Show. As you know, our mission is to redeem the health of the world. And I've got a new book coming out on April 23rd, The Power of Ownership, Redeem Your Health, Live Life by Design, and Break the Relentless Pursuit of Normal. And if you go to thepowerofownershipbook.com right now, you can have access to the book. You can get access to all the behind the scenes content, the hidden videos, the blueprints, and also entered in a draw to have some personal one-on-one time with myself. And so that's at thepowerofownershipbook.com. Be sure to get that resource so that you can take ownership of your health. Until then, let's get back to the episode.
There's an element of self-reliance in ownership, and not in the I can go it alone. You know, I own it, and I, you know, I do everything, and I get all the credit, and I don't need help. But more in the sense of, you know, realizing how connected we are to everything.
This is The Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Own It Show. I'm your host, Justin Rothenschofer, and I don't know where you're listening today. You could be driving, you could be working out, you could be walking, you could be going up a mountain. Hopefully you have Wi-Fi service or you've downloaded this previous because it's going to cut out on you. But if you're new here, welcome to The Own It Show. We dive in, we talk about people and tell stories of their journey to ownership. And ownership can be a confusing thing, something that kind of feels daunting at times and feels overwhelming. And it can kind of have like a dark energy to it if you kind of take it from this way. If you want to shy away from it, you don't want to be around it. But at the end of the day, ownership is what creates freedom. And it's actually very empowering, it's very safe, and it's very, very worthwhile looking for. And so if you're new here, be sure to go take a look at the past 250 episodes that we've done, because I'm sure there's going to be something that speaks to you. And I know that our guest today is going to be able to do that as well. So if this episode speaks to you, leave a review, share it, and be sure to reach out with any questions that we can do to help you with. If you followed along the last couple episodes, our guests have just been bringing the heat. And we've been talking a lot about the themes that have just kind of come about without any type of planning is really understanding where you are today. And we can know where we want to go. We can have a plan. We can have a vision. We can do up a vision board or whatever it is that we're trying to do. But if we don't know where we are today, there's no way that we can map out our steps to get there. And that's sometimes why people feel lost, why we can kind of be in this place. And somebody who's been able to not only know exactly where he is, but ultimately help understanding where other people are and get their message out and create a system to help grow their God-given purpose and their mission is here with us today. So without further ado, John Jantz, it's a pleasure to have you on the Own It Show. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
So, John, knowing kind of your background and the impact that you've done in the business, like really just groundbreaking, how you show up and how you do marketing for people is, for lack of a better word, it's just different. And I love that concept. Like for us, Own Your Different is really our tagline. And being different is what creates change. Being different is what empowers you to go that route. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about why this has been your mission, why this is your calling, because I know you got there by accident. I know it wasn't something you planned. It wasn't something that this is what I want to do, but take me through that journey a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned by accident because I say that all the time. Really, I mean, I've owned my own business for 30 years, but so I got to take you back to right before there. Trust me, this won't take forever to get to where we're going. But I went to right out of
Once
college.
Once upon a time, I was born.
It was a Tuesday in October. So I right out of college, really, I went to work for an ad agency, did that for about 5 years. And I thought, well, you know, any dummy can run a business. I just jumped out with no plan. I knew I could hustle work. My dad was a door-to-door, not, you know, old school salesperson. And I'd seen that, you know, what that took and that, you know, how to hustle. And so I knew I could do that. And I got big projects, big clients. So like I said, no plan, just hustled work. But I got three or four small business owners. as clients. And first off, they were really hard and frustrating to serve because they had the same needs and challenges, never the same budget, not even the same attention span. But I connected with them so deeply. I think there's something equal parts gratifying and terrifying about asking for, you know, money for work that you do from the person who's they're going to actually write the check too, right? I mean, it's not like some big corporate office that's going to go off somewhere. And right. So I just really got charged with serving them, but I also saw I could have great impact. I mean, I could make a difference, really quickly. And that got me very charged as well, but it was just terribly frustrating to figure out how to work with them. So I literally one day just said, look, I'm going to walk into the next person that I talk to, and I'm going to say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here are the results we hope to get. And here's what it's going to cost. Do you want it or not? And after about the third client who said, where have you been all my life? I was like, maybe I'm onto something, because what I really tapped into was in trying to solve my great frustration. I tapped into what is, I think, still today, one of the greatest frustrations with most small business, mid-sized business owners. And that is, it is really hard and getting harder to buy marketing services. Mm. Everybody is selling a piece of the puzzle. Everybody's selling the tactic of the week. Everybody says you got to go this way and then that way, and you got to do it all. And so the fact that somebody would walk in and say, look, we're going to start with strategy before tactics. We are going to install a marketing system and you're going to know what it costs. I mean, that was a giant breakthrough that I didn't realize the world was waiting for, but it's become my life's work.
I love that. And you said something that really stuck out to me heavily, is that people are buying pieces to the puzzle and not the entire thing. And they're buying pieces of the puzzle without the instructions. They're buying pieces to the puzzle, not knowing what the end result should actually look like. They're buying pieces to the puzzle that don't actually have the puzzle pieces to all fit together. And No wonder we're frustrated. No wonder we're overwhelmed. And to be quite honest with you, John, I don't think this is just a marketing issue. This is a life issue.
Yeah, it is.
Where it's in your health, it's in your relationships, it's in your family, it's in your finances, it's in your business, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Because there's always a shiny object. There's always, like you said, the tactic of the week that you're leaning into. And so
I think particularly for entrepreneurs, because, there is no separation of, personal and business anymore. Right. So I think it makes it even worse.
That's such a great point, because even in any type of relationship or any type of engagement, whether both spouses are entrepreneurs or whether just one is, by default, the other one has to be an entrepreneur because you have to put up with that person. You have to put up with the schedule. And so we know, being in this space, being in kind of in this realm, that it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not something you put at 5 o'clock, you clock out, you put the computer away and away you go. There are boundaries that have to be kept in place and kind of looked at, but it's going to take much more than that to get to where you want to go quite often. And so I love that. When you talk about not buying the whole thing and only getting puzzle pieces, how have you been able to rectify that? Or how have you been able to then give the whole puzzle in a box, nicely, tightly wrapped with a bow?
Yeah, our biggest thing is, and it took us a while to get there, but we are dead set flag in the sand about this now. If somebody comes to us and says, oh, I need a website. We say, yes, you do. I need a website, but we are going to start with strategy first. And we have a productized approach that we have now done thousands of times with small business owners to help them understand what their brand promise should be, to help them understand the value they really do bring to their clients, to understand the specific problem that they actually solve. And it has nothing to do with what they sell. And running people through that process does a couple things. It takes away all the shiny objects, because we become a trusted advisor. I mean, nobody has asked them the questions that we're asking them. Nobody has directed them in the way and shown them what the whole roadmap looks like. And so, that you know, when we got very, very firm about the only way to work with us is to go through strategy first, we started attracting what I call investors, people that want to invest in their business and not just, you know, make the phone ring tomorrow, that they understand that this is that marketing is not an event. It never ends. It is, you know, it's a process. It's a system that really puts you on a track to go from stage to stage. And you know, that change in our business, or when we got really firm about that aspect of our business and stopped selling websites, campaigns, you know, whatever somebody thought they needed, we started delivering tremendous value to the market, but we also significantly shifted the revenue and growth and profit picture of our own business.
I love that. And again, a couple things, listeners, if you guys aren't like, if you have a notepad, like these are two or three things that just stick out to me that make so much sense. Sell to investors, like people who are willing to invest in themselves. And again, I don't care if you don't have a small business. I don't care if this isn't something that's pertinent to you in a marketing play, like listen to the wording and how this can come. Sell to investors. Go to people, be around people who want to invest in themselves, people who want to better themselves, people who want to level up in all categories, anywhere. That's not just a thing of how to come into duct tape marketing with John. This is something bigger. This is a life skill. Same thing with marketing. Isn't an event. It's something that goes on forever. It's not just one thing that you have to go, oh, thank goodness we got four or five people through the door. No. Let's build relationships. Let's get people to know what you're doing. Let's get people to know you. And when you can create that, man, life becomes simple. As we kind of keep going down this road, John, I'd love to kind of understand how a lot of these like principles, yes, you use them to operate your business. Yes, you use them to go really well here, but how have they manifested into your life? How have they manifested into your relationships and just the way you live day to day?
Probably the biggest thing is, you know, what a clear strategy does is, you know, business owners, there's always more to do than you can do. Everybody's telling you need to be on every platform. You know, what a clear strategy does is actually shows you what you don't need to do. And to me, in some cases, that's actually far more freeing than just having a list of stuff I have to do. So that idea itself has probably come into, you know, how we plan, how I prioritize the quarter, how I prioritize what we're going to do in a year, what's important and what's not important. I mean, so, you know, you start throwing out those concepts and you really start to pin down that the only thing that's important is your time. Mm. And that, you know, that's the only thing you can't control or, you know, make more of. And so, you know, for us, you know, a lot of what this strategy selling does to us is it raises us to the trusted advisor level, which then actually gives us the ability to make a margin on what it is that we are selling that is commensurate with the value we're delivering rather than competing on price, you know, with other people in the market. And that allows us to actually then bring in people and pay them well and scale, you know, our business and our clients' businesses, not sideways like so many people do, but you know, up as you're supposed to do. Because I think, you know, one of the real traps for a lot of business owners is, you know, as they grow, they just get busier. And they, you know, they feel like, oh, I'm, you know, I got to bring in people. You know, you hear people talk about, oh, I got 15 headcount now, I got 20 headcount now, you know, but they're not making any more money than they were because they, you know, they're going kind of the traditional path of, oh, X, we got X amount of clients. We need to get X amount of people to serve those clients. Or now we're, you know, now we're ready for a leadership team. And so they just, you know, continue to grow that way rather than really prioritizing, you know, where they can make significant difference. And I'll tell you, the place where you make significant difference is figure out who you can deliver the most value to the fastest. And, you know, that's the place that you ought to be spending your time.
I want to go back to something you said where like traditional growth of adding team members and kind of bringing people in just, oh, this is where we have to do it versus doing it a different way. Elaborate on that a little bit more because I personally am interested.
Yeah. So a lot of it has to do with, and I'm, you know, I do not claim a lot of, I've created a lot of IP What I'm about to share with you is not mine. there's a, you know, brilliant business owner. You may know him, or your listeners may know him. Dan Martell has created numerous businesses, and he has for a long time been talking about this idea of buying back your time.
Oh yeah. He's a past guest okay, on the Own It Show.
Perfect.
Dan just hit the New York Times bestseller list for Buy Back Your Time. So
yeah,
if listeners, I'll put that down in the chat box on the show notes for you. So you can go to that and get that on Amazon. But yes, I've got the book. It's literally sitting over there. And
so he really, in the book, he really crystallized something I'd been doing without naming, you know, for a long time. And that was the idea of, you know, creating a package, creating a repeatable system that allowed you to then delegate or, you know, assign work to, you know, people who really could just operate a system. They didn't have to be brilliant strategists or have years of experience. They could operate a system. And consequently, there are a lot more people who can do that than there are people that can create strategy. And so consequently, it allows you to scale and fulfill a whole lot more work for a lot less money, or another way of saying that, for a much higher margin in the end. And so this idea of creating a compelling package, which is what we've done, which allows us to charge, you know, a margin that allows us to go out and get people and train those people to do the work, so that we can scale, you know, upwardly instead of, you know, just getting more people and getting, you know, wider and fatter.
I love it. I love it. When something you said even before, time is the asset. And listeners, you guys have heard me talk about this numerous times, where time is your most valuable, precious asset. Health is the ultimate form of wealth. And we often don't think about our health until it impacts our asset. Yeah. And until it starts to hold us back from a sick day, not being able to go into work, or even worse, a chronic illness that holds us out, or an energy loss that we can't be as productive as we were before. What have you been able to do, John, to be able to stay productive, be able to focus on you, be able to put you yeah. first, and really be able to operate at a high level for so long?
Well, you know, routine is probably the short answer. you know, I do a lot of things that I've done for years that, cause you mentioned, you know, physical, but, you know, let's not forget the mental health, you know, aspect totally. Of it, you know, the
mental, emotional, spiritual, yeah. it's all wrapped in together.
Cause this thing that we do can be very stressful. and then that leads to, you know, physical breakdown as well. So, you know, a long time ago, I learned, and I think I wrote a blog post, you know, probably 15, 20 years ago, that I called the math of exercise. And a lot of people don't do it. Sometimes it's stress and it's like, I just can't get myself there. But a lot of times we don't do it because we think, oh, I'm too busy, right? I don't have time to squeeze that in. And I learned a long time ago that, you know, the 30 minutes of yoga and the 30 minutes of meditation that I do, you know, every morning, you know, buys me 6 hours you know, of productive time. And so, you know, those kind of rituals are something that, you know, I've done for many, many years and hold, you know, pretty sacred to, you know, being, you know, the highest priority of the day.
I love this. I want to keep going down this road with you because, again, we talk about it all the time, is if you're selfish with the first 2 hours of your day, mm-hmm. you can steward the other 22.
Yeah.
And I'd love to break that down a little bit, the math of exercise, of how that 30 minutes of meditation or breath work or whatever it is that you're doing buys you the extra 6 hours for the day. Can you explain that to the audience a little bit so that they can kind of get inside your head of what you're meaning and yeah. how you use that?
So, you know, without needing to get into what meditation is, you know, in a lot of ways, what it really does is it quiets your mind. It actually trains you to be present. I mean, that's the whole point of it. And I think that is a skill that, you know, so that's why a lot of people call it a meditation practice. I mean, that is a skill that we practice because we're going to need, you know, the second you flip open the, you know, Gmail, you know, the stress level goes up, right? You start responding to things. You start making task lists of all the, you know, things that you think you need to do today. You start actually responding to, you know, everybody that's calling at you. Well, you know, without the ability to slow down mentally and to kind of go, oh, you know, this is actually what I'm working. This is the one thing that I actually need to get done today. And, you know, I can let the other go. You know, I think that's in a lot of ways, I think for me, the hardest thing to learn in business was how to let go. Let go of the stuff that didn't really matter. Let go of the stuff that I had no control over, but that I was, you know, obsessing over, and to really focus on, hey, if I get this one thing done, I'm actually going to move the needle. And, you know, in a week from now, a month from now, that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that. And the unique part about that is that it gives you an opportunity to create. It gives you an opportunity to really, like, when you do quiet your mind, I go back to the biblical verse all the time, is be still and know that I'm God, not be busy and know that I'm God. And so when you can still your mind and you can allow yourself to get into your deepest, most connected states, it's when your best ideas and when your most impact can actually, and the most difference making, can occur. So I absolutely love that.
Well, if you want to go really deep on that one, you know, the part that a lot of people miss is that they interpret that as a person speaking to them. And it is, I am God, you are God. And that's the part that, you know, that if you own that, you know, it will change some things.
100%. That's so good. So good. It's because, to be honest with you, God lives inside each and every one of us. And the moment that you become still, that's why I know for me, my best ideas, and I hear people all the time who don't have a spiritual connection or all these things are like, I'll be in the bathtub or I'll be in the shower and I'll have my best idea, or I'll be in the hot tub and I'm just like, that's it. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, because you stilled your mind, you became centered on that calling that is God given. And it's brilliant. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. John, as you kind of emulate so many things that we talk about for somebody who lives in ownership, somebody who executes in ownership and is just a high performing person, has yielded the fruit of what that does, what would your definition of ownership be?
I think that to me, there's an element of self-reliance in ownership, and not in the, I can go it alone. You know, I own it and I, you know, I do everything and I get all the credit and I don't need help, but more in the sense of, you know, realizing how connected we are to everything, and to everyone and to every, you know, trees. I live here in Colorado and I've lived basically in a forest, you know, that I think when you get to the level where you realize how all those things are connected, then, you know, you really start to show up. That to me is when success starts to happen, and not as somebody else defined it, but totally and 100% how you define it.
I love it. I love it. Ownership is self-reliance in deep connection. Yeah. It's so beautifully said, because it's true. Is everything is so deeply interconnected, and being able to be still enough, but aware enough to realize that is the key and the big difference maker when you kind of pull everything back. John, where can people find you? Where can people connect with you? If they want more information on what you do and how you do it, or if they just want to listen to more of you.
Yeah. So pretty much for everything I've been doing for the last few decades, you can find it at ducttapemarketing.com. That's DUCTTAPE marketing.com. And I have written 7 books over, you know, my career. And there's, for your listeners, six of them are about marketing. I wrote one basically, as I call it, a love letter to entrepreneurs, and it's a daily reflection guide called The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur. And it's, you know, people are probably familiar with, you know, other daily kind of books. You pick it up and you read 2 minutes. I ask you a question to reflect on every day. And it really, you know, it was really, you know, it was very driven, you know, by my practice of kind of daily, you know, inspiration, but also it really just came about, you know, I wanted to chronicle kind of my journey, the self-development path that I feel like I've gone down for many decades. And so, you know, it's the work I'm actually the most proud of. It didn't sell the most, but you know, it's the one that I think for your audience probably makes some sense.
I love it. I love it. We'll We'll put a link for that down in the show notes as well. So you guys can get access to that. The self-reliant entrepreneur ultimately makes sense, knowing that ownership is self-reliance in deep connection. And so listeners, as you guys go forward, we know that health is wealth and time is the asset. And as we continue to move into that space, we have to determine where we're spending our time. Who are we investing it with? Why are we investing it there? And knowing that who we need to sell ourselves to, who we need to lean into to serve, are people who want to invest in themselves. Be with people who are a rising tide. Be in that area. And knowing that if we want to make a true impact and difference, that there are no instructions, there are no manuals to this, but we can't be just going after the puzzle pieces that are singular, just sitting out there. It needs to be a holistically integrated process. It needs to be the entire package together. And as we dive into that, we know that we can ultimately buy back our time. We can buy back anything that exists there so that we can come back to ourselves, because we are self-reliant. We're self-reliant on the deep connection that only we can make. And that's what a life of ownership looks like. We know success is different. So own your different, and we'll see you guys next week.